The Rams were playing games at the Coliseum. So I would literally put on this skimpy little outfit, put on this overcoat, and I'd bike over to the Coliseum and get in the and undo the thing.
Rams cheerleader just biking across LA.
Ooh, come on in.
Let's get down and dirty.
The totally unfiltered, honest.
Oh, my brain.
I love your brain.
Stall talk.
Y'all ready?
Jenny Lee, back in your day, you were going to USC. You were doing so many different things at once. How did you balance all of that?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. The thing is I think I wasn't even – you couldn't even possibly think about everything because I just had to move forward. Mm-hmm. I was going to USC. I was working pretty much full time. I was belonged to a sorority house. What I did is I went to the teachers before every class period started, every quarter, whatever semester, and I would say, if I'm not in class, that's because I'm out either looking for a job or working because I was paying for my education. And luckily, they were all wonderful about it. But funny story, even I was Rams cheerleader. So the Rams were playing games at the Coliseum. And of course, USC is right across the street from the Coliseum. So I would literally put on this skimpy little outfit, put on this overcoat, and I'd get on my bicycle. And I'd bike over to the Coliseum and get in the and undo the thing.
Rams cheerleader just biking across LA.
Yeah, I mean, just going, oh my gosh, I just had to keep moving forward.
Wow.
How about you when you were going to college? Did you work? I'm sure you were balancing a lot.
Well, that actually brings me to what I wanted to talk about this week. Is college a time for career exploration or is it a time for self-exploration? And to be honest, I went to college at 17, but I didn't go to college because I wanted an education. I went to college because I liked to party, go out, meet cute boys, and go to a sorority. The degree was just a byproduct, to be honest. Because I was just like, I don't want to grow up. I don't want to be an adult. So it was like, go to college or get a job. So I was like, I'll go to school during the day so I could be outside at nighttime, which is what I did. But somehow along my way, I ended up finding journalism and communications and I fell in love with it.
Yeah. And you still took your career. Your schooling seriously.
I did.
Because you graduated still.
Exactly. I wanted to be able to keep going. So I made sure I kept my grades up so I could stay in college. That was my motivator. I was like, well, if I don't have good grades, I can't be in a sorority. And I was like, and I want to continue being in a sorority. Those are my best friends to this day. I just went wedding dress shopping with one of my sorority sisters.
Oh, you did?
Yes, it was really fun.
Is that the first time in your friend group? So this is the first one to get married.
I'm so excited. Yeah, but I graduated a year and a half ago, and about 6 months ago or so they got engaged and their wedding dress shopping, and I'm just like, wow, this is the reason why I went to college. I was like, I want to make those like lifelong like girlfriends and go to each other's weddings and be bridesmaids. And her name is Ashlyn and Reeve, and I'm so excited for them, and a bunch of my other sisters are also bridesmaids.
And now your girlfriends, which you're so tight with these girls, how many are in your group?
I feel like I have a couple different friend groups, but the friend group of the girls that I went to college with, I have Maddie, Annalisa, Ashlyn, Tiana, Nathan, like those are like.
And that's all from college.
Yes.
Who's your oldest friend? Like, do you still have a friend that's from like elementary school or junior high or something?
Kayla. So Kayla and I actually still live together. So we went to high school together. I met her my freshman year of high school. And the reason why we became friends is because I couldn't remember her name. Yeah, so we were on the same cheer team together. Believe it or not, there was only one black girl on the cheer team, and it was her. And 3 years later, it came me. And then I was just like, well, we have to be friends. But I couldn't remember her name, and we had Spanish class together. And as you know, I speak Spanish, which is why I took Spanish. And
yo
she
también.
Did it. Yes, usted también.
Me habla y también, ¿verdad?
So we both took Spanish together, and I'd be like her little tutor. And we became besties, and we still live together. We moved out here together to Long Beach. Beach.
Now you, because you've talked about it a lot, you came from a small town, mm-hmm. and then you went to college in a big town.
Yeah.
How was that adjustment?
That transition.
Was it hard for you? Because I know mm-hmm. I had a really hard time going my first year when I went away to school.
Yeah.
I'd come home on weekends just sobbing because I'm a nester. But how did you have a hard time?
Yeah, so I didn't go straight to a 4-year. I went to City College. I started at Santa Barbara City College, which is, I actually went to school for zoology because as you know, I really like animals.
Oh my God.
So I lasted one semester because I'm not very good at math, as we've talked about before. Mm. That is not necessarily my strong suit. I did not do well in chemistry, and I talked to my like counselor and she's like, just try journalism and communications. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I like animals. She's like, just try it. And I tried it, and somehow I found my way with journalism. But no, because I'm from a small town called Lompoc. It's about 20 minutes outside of Santa Barbara. That wasn't far. Santa Barbara's still relatively a small town. So it was pretty easy in terms of the distance. Making friends was hard for me during that time. I really struggled with making friends and being away from home. So anytime there was a reason to go home, I would go home. But then I ended up transferring to Cal State Long Beach. And since I've been here, it's felt like home. Like this transition, it's crazy how like 3 hours away, I felt more like home than being 20 minutes away in Santa Barbara. I joined the sorority and I made a ton of really close friends.
So the sorority experience was wonderful for you.
Oh, yeah.
And with the den moms and, yeah, because I lived
den in den moms, house mom. We don't have a house mom. Thank goodness we don't.
Oh,
did you? You had to have one?
Yes. You guys didn't.
No.
In your sorority, you didn't have a house mom?
No, we have like advisors that like come like and we'll check in like weekly, but there wasn't like an adult like living in the house.
Oh, yeah. We had, and she looked like a house mom. And you had, yeah, there was like, yeah, you had to be in by like the doors were locked like at, I don't know, 10 o'clock or something. But yeah, see, maybe I do think that might be difference in generations too, is that
we had
a moral clause. I know we've talked about that a lot, but did you guys have a moral clause?
Well, to be honest, I feel like it's still kind of the same, but different because we have Ring cameras now, which as you know, the cameras, so we don't have a house mom per se that lives at the house, but they watch the Ring cameras as people are coming in and out of that front door.
Oh, okay.
They get a notification on their phone and are able to see everything going on in that house.
And so were any of the girls ever kicked out of the sorority?
Oh, I can't spill those beans. I can't spill our beans like that, but you would be surprised on lots of things that go in and out of sorority life. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I feel like I've learned so much while being in college that had nothing to do with things that I learned while in the classroom. Like living with roommates, balancing work life, learning how to be on your own, doing your own laundry, getting along with the people that you live with, finding parking spots and like paying for parking tickets on campus. Like I feel like you learn so many things while in college that other people who don't go to college didn't necessarily get to experience because they, you know, still live at home or had a different path.
I've known so many people that were really successful and didn't even graduate high school. So there's also the book of hard knocks, I think, that we both really believe in, that I do think there's a lot more to learn than just what's in a book.
I agree 100%. Yeah. Like it was also interesting because I went to school during COVID. So about in my second year of college was COVID. So for like 3 years, more than half of my college experience, I had to go back home because schools were closed. Everything was shut down. So I was like asleep half of class because it was on Zoom. So I'd have like a 3-hour class and I would just like 8 a.m. I'd just turn it on, but we didn't have to keep our cameras on. So I just went back to sleep. And then every now and then I'd hear like, Cassandra, do you have anything to say about this? And I'd be like, and turn it on really quick and try to like remember something.
Well, we have a great guest today who's in college and also acting. So juggling a lot, which is going to be a lot of fun.
And she's in one of my favorite shows. I'm so excited to get to talk to her.
Yay.
Let's welcome our guest, Shay Rudolph. She's known from some of my favorite shows, The Sex Lives of College Girls and The Babysitter's Club. Hi, how are you doing?
I'm so good. How are you guys?
We're
so
great.
Excited to have you.
Oh, yay. Everybody's giddy on the set because you're here. So to start off, How did you get into show business, or why even? Just, you know, professional show business.
Yeah, so I used to do musical theater when I was a lot younger, like elementary school, and I also used to do ballet, and one of my ballet teachers told me one day that I should go to an open casting call for some sort of like modeling something, and I was like, okay, like, why not? Sure, sounds fun. And I went there, and there was a booth for this acting studio in San Diego, where I'm from. And I walked up to them, started chatting with them. They said I should go to some acting classes. And I kind of just like decided to pick up a new hobby. I didn't really think anything would happen with it. But once I started going, I realized how much I liked it, how fun it was. Like, it seemed to kind of come naturally to me. And then through that acting school, there was this opportunity to go to something called Industry Network, where you can like meet with agents and managers. I went to that, and it just kind of snowballed from there. I signed with my first agent and my manager. I started going on auditions, and it, like, obviously I didn't book the first thing I auditioned for. It took a while, but I was really enjoying the process, and then partway through that, I realized that it could be a real career, and I kind of went full steam ahead for that. So it just kind of fell into my life. I never thought I would be doing it.
That's really cool. I'm a big believer everything happens for a reason.
For sure.
So I think it's awesome that you got that experience at such a young age. Something that I'm curious about, one of my favorite shows, as you Stall Talk babes know, is The Sex Lives of College Girls that you were on. What was that experience like? What was it like working with Renee?
It was really, really fun. I was only on set for like a handful of days. It was probably a little under a week because it was like a guest star role, but it was really cool. It was kind of like the first thing that I felt like was a real like mature show that I was doing. Just like content-wise, it was different. Mm-hmm. It was like my first role where I was supposed to be 18 and in college, like I was at the time, which was really exciting instead of playing like a 15-year-old. So it was really cool. And working on a comedy set, like, it's very fast-paced. They were kind of changing lines as we were going. So that was a really fun new experience, too. It was great.
That's really cool. I didn't know it was like that.
Yeah.
Because now you're in college, but this whole time, did you ever have to have, like, a teacher on set? Or were you able to stay in regular school?
I actually did independent study school from 8th grade to 12th grade to allow for like being on set and just kind of my different schedule with auditioning all the time and traveling and whatnot. So I did have to have a teacher on set. It's just the law. If you're working as a minor, like, you do have to do school. So
that's a good law.
It is a good law. It's great. Education is very important.
Yeah.
So like 3 hours a day on set every single day, you would have to go, and in between takes you would get like 20 minutes of school at a time, and it would add up to 3 hours. So a lot of it was on my own, but the set teachers did help. Yeah.
That seems like a lot to balance, but it seems like you did a really good job at
Thanks.
It. You still
are. Yeah, it is a lot, but you adjust to it. Like, I was on set in middle school when I was still at like a regular middle school where it's 5 days a week, whatever. And I was having to miss like 5 weeks of school, and all my teachers kind of gave me the assignments as they came in. And there was one day where I finished a week's worth of work in 2 hours. And I realized like how much time is spent just doing busy work and whatnot when you're actually at school. And like, that's not to say it's bad at all, but just I've learned how to manage my own time really well very early on. So I think that's been a helpful skill going into college too.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, how does that translate into your adult life now?
It's definitely something that I still have. I mean, I still have to work on it. There's always like the work, school, life balance that kind of gets thrown out of whack sometimes. But I feel like coming into college, like my freshman year, it was a little bit of an easier adjustment than like some of my friends maybe had, because I had done independent study school and I was so used to having to like get my homework done and teach myself things and only have one of each class per week instead of like 8 hours every single day. So I definitely am more used to it. Yeah.
Your background, of course, is different from a lot of your peer group, right? Being that you've been professionally working since you were, what, 14, 13, 14 years old. Do you ever think that you missed part of your childhood because of it? Because obviously you did, you had to give up a lot of what normal kids were doing. Looking back on it, or even now, do you think you missed out at all?
Honestly, I don't think so. I still, like, I wasn't acting from the age of 4 or anything like that. I did have, like, a really normal childhood. I went to regular middle school, dealt with all, like, the middle school embarrassment and awkward phases without being an actor. And, like, even just being an independent study school versus full homeschool, like I still have had so many of those typical like teenager experiences. Most of my friends are not actors. Like, I'm around just like other normal people. I have a sister. She definitely keeps me humble for sure. So like, I don't think I've missed out on anything crazy, but I think if anything, I've just had really cool opportunities. I think it's added to a lot of my experience growing up rather than taken away from anything.
So on the Babysitter's Club, your character is diabetic. What is it like getting to be that representation for that?
It's really incredible. I booked the role when I was like 12, having just turned 13, I think. So at that time, like, I didn't realize how big of a responsibility it was and how big of an honor it was. But then once the show came out and I got to hear viewer experiences and really hear the impact that it had on other young girls, it hit me like a brick, and I was like, oh wow, like this is really incredible. Not many people get this opportunity to be kind of a spokesperson for something specific. And like, I don't have diabetes, so it's a little bit different. Like, I wasn't really that much of a spokesperson for like type 1 diabetes, but just being able to play a character and kind of shed light on the lived experience of young girls that do go through something like that and touch viewers and make them feel a little bit less alone is really, really special.
I know for me, I had a bit of fame when I was young, and that famousness, how have you handled that? Is it an issue for you? Has it been an issue? People don't realize, but when the spotlight is on you, you know, you say that you're normal just like all your friends and all that, but you're really not. So, I mean, how do you navigate that? Does it affect you? Do you like it? I think there's even a scale. Some people love being famous, right? As one actor to another. Some people love it and some people hate it. Where do you fit in? And again, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't consider myself famous at all. Like, if anything, I try really hard to not have that be how I'm seen. And I would like to think that it doesn't really change much of how other people see me, because I don't think it's changed me. I think I'm still just my normal self. Like, it is something that's a really big part of my life, but I try to just have it be work rather than like my everything. So I hope that people still just see me as like who I actually am. I think especially like the people that are really in my life that actually get to know me, it's just, I'm just Shay. It's just a thing that I do. But maybe it changes how people first perceive me, like that first impression thing. If they learn that I'm an actor, like have X amount of followers, it's kind of like, oh wow, that's so cool, yeah. Whatever. But yeah, I hope it doesn't change that much.
How do you navigate being in this world, your privacy, and knowing who like actually is there to be your true friend versus what your career is?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is hard. I just have to trust my gut, like use my intuition. You can feel when people's energy shifts. Like I was saying, if they see like my Instagram account and see the little verified mark, whatever, and they're like, that's so crazy. Like, do you know this person? Have you worked with this person? And so that kind of makes me like put my wall up where I'm like, maybe not. But all the people that I'm really friends with, they're pretty normal about it. They just think it's like a cool thing that I do on the side, but they're not starstruck in any way. So, yeah.
That's awesome that you still have that support system.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to have a lot of people in my life that are just like chill.
Yeah, yeah, it's like me too, even when you talked about family, that I remember growing up and again, quote, being famous and doing the magazine covers and writing your on TV and all that stuff. And my brothers and sisters would look at me because I was the tomboy person. But you come home and they go, really? Right? Because I know that your mom, you're really close with your mom.
Yes.
And in fact, I thought we might meet her today. But
oh, yeah. I wish, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, is that who is in your support group?
Definitely my immediate family, and my mom, my dad, my sister, which I'm very lucky to be close with. And I have a pretty big family on my dad's side too. So I have a ton of cousins that are like right around my age. I'm very close with them. They keep me in check too. Not anything mean, but just like there's a lot of normalcy in my life with family, which yeah. I'm really, really grateful for. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my main support system is for sure the girls in my life, my mom and my sister. I lean on them for everything. We talk all day, every day.
So. Girl
just like
squad.
We do in the bathroom, yes, stalls.
Exactly.
It's all about stalls. Right. Yeah.
Do you have any like special stories or significant times with women in your life?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I mean, like, so many, seriously. But I guess this isn't anything specific, but I am just really grateful to have a sister that's close in age to me. She's 2 years older than me. She's 21. I'm 19. So, like, my entire life, we've grown up being really close, and she's, like, my built-in best friend.
She's not in the business?
No, she's okay. Not.
She keeps her humble.
Yeah, exactly. We used to do ballet together, so, like, we grew up having a lot of the same interests, and we still do, which I think is really nice. There's a lot that we've bonded over. And, like, we had our moments being a little bit further in age. Like, when I was 11, she was 13, I still wanted to play with dolls, and she was ready to, like, be a grown-up teenager. She's like, hair and makeup. Exactly, yeah. But overall, like, she's a really special person in my life, so
awesome.
Plenty of moments with her.
What would you tell to other girls about getting in the business? Would you recommend it, and how, perhaps, any advice for them or how they might go about doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely recommend it. I've had an incredible experience as an actor, but I would say you have to really, really love what you're doing and be very committed to it, ready to make a lot of sacrifices. There are things that you end up missing out on, like dances that you can't go to because you booked a job or you have an audition or other things like that. And you hear a lot of no's. A lot of the time you don't even hear no, you just hear nothing. So you have to stay really committed to it and trust yourself and just keep going for it, even when it's really hard. So you kind of have to be prepared for that going in, I think.
I feel like you're so young and you've accomplished so many different things within this world. What do you still see for your future coming up in your career?
Oh my gosh, so much. I mean, ideally continuing to act is my main thing that I hope for my future. But I'm in film school. I'm studying screenwriting, and I really hope that that's a part of my future too. I definitely see myself kind of getting into multiple sides of the industry, whether that be producing, writing, at the same time as acting. I'm really interested in a lot of it. So I'm really excited to see where it ends up and which one I like kind of do as my main thing.
I love that. She can do it all.
We're excited to see you in front of the camera and behind that camera, perhaps, huh?
Yeah, I would love that.
What is it like being a woman behind the camera? I feel like there isn't too much of that right now. And what is it like for you?
I've, again, luckily had some really incredible experiences. I feel like my circle of people that I do creative things with at school, there are a lot of really incredible, empowering women that I am working with. And, like, of course, there are the film guys, too. But luckily, I have a lot of really great guy friends at school, and I have really incredible collaborative experiences. We kind of make a lot of projects, and, like, we're able to give each other jobs because we all just want to be creating.
That's
so
really cool.
There are some really fun things that I've been able to do, and I've had great experiences behind the camera.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And because, again, getting back to even to your family, you're in for the long haul then, and your family knows it. So you're gone. Because I was wondering about that, being in college and stuff. Do you have anything? I have a story. Harrison Ford was the one that always said, always have something to fall back on. He was a carpenter, which is how he even got his original job. But with you, do you have anything else to fall back on?
I should. I've kind of put all my eggs in this basket of the film industry.
I like that.
It did make me panic for a second when the strikes were happening. The SAG actor strike and the writer strikes were happening at the same time. And here I was auditioning and then also starting to go to school for writing. And I was like, that's great. I really hope things get sorted out by the time I graduate and like have to be in these industries. But yeah, luckily things are looking better now. But that was a moment of panic because I realized like I am only interested in film. So
wow.
Do you have any specific like niche characters that you like to play or specific styles when you're filming?
I definitely have some dream types of characters to play, which would be something in the fantasy realm. I've always thought that that would be really, really cool. I love writing fantasy stuff too. So like, yeah, there's just so much you can do with that. And animated things. I've always wanted to do voiceover. So something like that would be incredible one day.
That's really cool.
You're such a positive, like energetic. I just sense that you're probably like this all the time.
Yeah.
But even for myself, how do you handle, though, there is a lot of rejection, though, in the business. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always said that acting's kind of like real estate, that 90% of the time you fail, but that 10% could be hits and big hits.
Yeah.
Do you find that, too? And how do you keep, because you have to put yourself in that every time and go back in there with gusto, right?
Yeah, I definitely find that to be true. I don't know why or how, but I've kind of always been able to just let things roll off my shoulders when it comes to that rejection, at least with acting. Other things in life, like maybe not so much, but with my career, I've been able to just kind of like keep my eyes on the prize and just keep going. I know that the right thing will happen when it happens and it'll work out the way it's meant to. And like, if I didn't get a role, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm not talented. It's just there are so many mm-hmm. other factors. Like maybe you don't look like the person that got cast as your mom, or you're too short or too blonde, or like whatever. There are so many
too
things
skinny,
that go
too
into
fat,
it.
Too, yeah.
Exactly. There's so much beyond just mm-hmm. like the talent that makes you right for a role. So it's just, it really is right place, right time. And like, that will happen when it happens.
But how do you deal then with other rejection? And, well, could I ask, so you say like, oh, you're really good at acting. What does bum you out? What gets you down?
I've definitely gone through some friendship things, less so than like romantic rejection, which is maybe what you were thinking. But friend breakups are really,
those are tough.
Really hard. And I feel like those are the things that kind of take a bigger toll on me. When people mm-hmm. are in my life, I really care about them. So like when things go wrong there, it's... It takes me a fat minute to get over them and fully process them. So
I think we're really similar in that way, because I feel like those are the people that I expect most to like be
yeah.
there for you, and then when they're not, that one's really
it
hard.
Hurts.
More than boys, like what we were saying.
Yeah.
But back to the acting, I'm really curious. Do you have any like dream actors that you want to work with?
Oh, dream Ooh. Actors. I was thinking like directors, writers. Oh gosh. I mean, this is so hard. I don't have like a fire
yeah, like if
answer.
You were on the set and you had to kiss somebody or something, would it be, I don't know.
What about the directors or the writers?
Okay, well, I also have always like dreamed about doing a horror movie or anything
oh, cool.
like that. So I really like psychological thriller vibe things, and I would love to one day work with the writer-director Ari Aster. Mm-hmm. I think his movies are really cool. Or Jordan Peele. His mm-hmm. stuff is incredible,
oh,
too.
Yeah.
I just, like, it makes me really excited to think about working on a film where the filmmaker is, like, fully immersed in it, writing, directing, and, like, really knows the project inside and out. And, like, being a lead character where you can really dive into that. Mm-hmm. That's kind of...
I think
yeah.
you would excel at that.
Thank you.
Well, I think you excel also at guitar playing, because she's in this music video. And who did ruin Nirvana?
You know, I don't actually know the details. I don't know the lore behind the song, but that was a music video for my friend McKenna Grace, and I play guitar in real life, so we had like had a couple jam sessions just for fun, and then she asked me to play guitar. Fake play guitar in her music video, and it was a really cool experience.
Wow.
I've never done a music video except for that, so it was very fun and new.
Oh,
that's cool. You do it all. Do you have any last things you want to share with the viewers?
Oh gosh.
Stall talk, babes. They're all listening.
Yeah.
In the bathrooms.
So much pressure. Keep your friends close. Love hard, and believe in yourself. I guess.
Perfect.
That.
Perfect message.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for
Thank
sharing.
You guys are awesome.
You're
so
awesome. Come back.
You.
Come back.
Yes, I would love to.
We have a new stall talk, babe. So we just spoke with Shay.
I think she was adorable.
I do too.
Oh my gosh. And you know one thing that my Aunt Jenny Lee that I really took away from her is her being able to distinguish between work as a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
How that applies compared to friends or romance or something else's relationships in when you fail or when you get knocked down.
Mm-hmm.
And because rejection is a really hard thing to do. And in acting, as someone that, you know, I've been doing this for 40 years or so, and it's rough to get said no to so many times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I looked at her and thought, oh my gosh, she just thought, no. I just really have
going.
It ingrained in my mind that it's not me. It's because Which is true.
I love how she's able to not take it so personal, because it isn't. So it's like, but it's really hard to like get in your head, because I do sometimes too. Like I do so many auditions for different things, and sometimes I get in my own head too. And when she said that, I was like, wow, that was really great to hear from her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder, since we've talked about this before on the show, I wonder if she goes to therapy or something. But I mean, it sounds like her, even just assuming her therapy, just like you as her friends group, mm-hmm. huh?
Yeah. When she said, when we were talking about having support system, and when she's like, when I'm with my friend, like, they just treat me like normal me. Like, yeah, they think it's cool, like, that what I do, but they're her friends for her friends. And that's mm-hmm. exactly how I feel about my friend group, like my close friends I was talking about earlier. Nothing's changed. They still treat me the same, nothing different. It's just like, oh, but she has a cool job, like exactly like what she's experienced. But something else that she said that I took away from it was learning like who's really there for you to be your friend, or who's just interested in like who you are or who your career is. Have you had any experiences like that?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. So I thought, how does she do that, because it always takes me a bit, because I just go into it thinking, oh, they just like me. And then something happens and you go, oh my gosh, they're only liking me because, you know, I'm on camera or something like that. You know what, that also though, in this whole episode, just brings home to me that we're so different, or I'm so different in that I never had a big friend group. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was always...
Working and focused on your career.
Yes, always, my whole life. So this sounds really stupid, but I've never partied. I've rarely stayed out after 10 o'clock at night. I mean,
I don't even leave the house till I call the Uber like after 10, after the pre-game.
Oh my gosh. See? And so it's like, you know, so my friends are, you know, my puppy dogs and my donkey and all that. And and that makes me...
Well, now you have all these stall talk babes.
Now I have my stall talk babes, which is fabulous when all the girls come over the house and stuff. That is really fun. But yeah, so I mean, for me, I still have to navigate the negatives and all that. Mm-hmm. But the way that I do it, me, is... Again, I do it with my animals and with my gardening, and
that's
you
your
know,
therapy.
I mean, yeah. But it sounds so wonderful that you guys have these girl groups.
Oh, it's fabulous! And when you said that you feel like they like you, and like that's why they're here for you, but that's not really the true reasons. It's interesting because I feel like I've had kind of the opposite reaction with that, where I used to cry a lot because I'd be like, oh, people now only like me because of this thing. Like I had a lot of people who weren't interested in being my friend, and then all of a sudden, like, I've been getting some cool new jobs and sponsorships and stall talk and all these opportunities. Now it's kind of like, oh, remember how you wanted to get coffee like 3 years ago? Like, we should so do that. And I'm just kind of like, so it's like, you did have time then, you just weren't interested in being my friend then, and now you are.
So how do you feel about that? Does it get in your brain? Is
it does.
Hard,
sometimes,
right?
It does. Yeah. I'm getting more used to it as, you know, we're going on with the show and like being in this world. I'm starting to get used to it and learning how to navigate it. But I just honestly, I go back to my core friends that I've had throughout all of the years. They're there for me, and I continue to be there for them as much as I can, and my family as well.
And see, that's why I think that, I mean, I like that I have walls around me. I like it that that's my protective zone. And I only keep very special loved ones and stuff in that zone. Mm-hmm. And if they, I'll give them chances. I always say that you get one chance and I notice it. The second time, if something happens, then I'll let them know that I noticed it. Mm-hmm. On the third time, it's like, oh, you know what? This is a Jenny Lee thing. Mm-hmm. If it's like that third time, they go on my list.
Wow, you give them lots of chances. Three. I'm like, dang.
But if you get on that list, it's like you're dead.
Wow.
And so people will say, and I've had people go, oh my gosh, did they get on the list? And because I'm very disciplined about my own self-worth, happiness, fulfillment, I'm very disciplined about that, because it's so easy to let other people infiltrate your happiness and your self-worth. And then if that happens, you can crumble. So
I'm very big on like the energy and the type of people that I hang out with because I feed on that, or just like I feel like the type of people that I surround myself with are really similar to me. We have similar interests and values and outlooks on life, which is why I'm very particular with the types of people I surround myself with in certain settings.
She also said that the worst rejection or what she had to go through was, which I thought was going to be like a boyfriend situation. She said, no, it's when a friend disappoints you. So have you had that? I 100%
agree with that.
And if you had that and then had to, like, that friend was done then with your life?
The friend, I feel like, is one of the hardest ones because it's like, we know boys, they come and go. Like, yeah, it's hard. It sucks. It's not fun at all. I don't wish that on anyone. But with the girlfriends, it's like they're like the last person that you expected, you know, to like do you wrong or not be there for you. And those tend to be the most painful ones. I never say like someone's like dead to me. It's just like I just choose to no longer have them in my close circle.
And see, with me, I choose to have them not in my life.
Yeah.
So I, you know, but what that also does for me is I don't harbor anger. So I get through things that I get upset and I might get mad, but then, and that's why also I retreat and I just think about it and think about it. And again, look at life and look at my animals and look at the people that are good to me till I, and then I get to a point that I go, oh, well, you know, I wish them well. Yeah. I don't wish anybody ill will.
I agree.
But yeah, just, you know, get on down the road, huh? But what a beautiful girl.
She was amazing.
Seems like she has her head so on top of her shoulders, but it's neat. I didn't ask her. I wonder what her sister does.
Oh, yeah. She said that her sister's 21. I'm sure she's giving her lots of lessons navigating her early 20s and being in college. I think that would have been really cool having, like, an older sister to be able to, like, navigate you through that and be kind of give you the path.
I love how you have your dad as your support group.
Thank you. Yeah, my dad, my friends, my family, I wouldn't be able to do what I do now without all of them. They're so supportive. I get in my head a lot, and having them and to be able to talk to them about anything has been really nice. Even like last week when we left set, I went straight to my friend's house, and it's just like they're always there for me. They hear me out for everything, and it's really nice having them. And you too.
And you too.
My you called me like right after, like, we're on set today. We're on set all day together. And then immediately after you call me and you talk to me while I'm on the freeway driving to my friends. And it's so special having each other. And I loved hearing that Shay has that same support group. It's really special. Trending up, trending down.
What?
Hey guys, it's that time, trending up and trending down on Stall Talk. This week, I want to talk about one of my current favorite reality shows, Love is Blind Season 8. I have been binging it all week on Maddie and Annalise's couch. I've been with their little cat, Luna, watching it. I'm obsessed. This cast and this crew has been pretty controversial lately. I'm really curious about what you think about this season. Let's talk about it in the comments. That's all for me for trending up and trending down. Bye, guys.
Well, thank you for watching and listening to Stall Talk.
Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe on all social media platforms. Bye, babes.
Bye.